transaction is all important to you. The inner factor of your existence is in your heart.
So try to guide your heart towards sweetness, towards home. And your real home is not here, for we are wandering around with no certainty through 8,400,000 species, according to our karma. But only in the human birth, with the help of the divine agent, can we go back to our home, to home and affection. Practically everyone in this world is considering that they must understand that they can approach through some sort of reasoning power. And others may think that through their activities, if they do certain activities, they will achieve some higher realization. So they're thinking through their power, through their force, or through their intellectual understanding that they can get realization, devotion, that higher plane. But Guru Maharaj is saying that it's not possible. Those things can't come through knowledge or intellect, and it can't come through power. We can't force our way in. You can't say, oh, I've done so many sacrifices, or I've chanted so many mantras, or I've gone to so many holy places. By our efforts, we can't penetrate there. But Guru Maharaj is saying the real answer lies in the heart, with the heart transaction. So what does that mean? What does that mean for us? It means love and affection. Will give us the real result. But even that, okay, but how will that manifest with you? Isn't that a great fortune? That that comes through the affection of our Guru, through the affection of the Vaishnava. They have affection for us. They're giving us this affection. They're giving us this care, giving us guidance, giving us shelter. And in such a sweet way, such a sweet mood, we're not requiring so much from us. Yeah, it's a brutal service, takes us a shot. But giving us everything. This type of affection we're getting from that higher quarter. So if we can just recognize how sweet the flow is coming from that side, we must think, our heart must be such. Oh, I'm so unqualified. I'm not bringing anything. Everything is being given to me. I don't deserve it, but everything is given to me. Why? Because my master is so sweet. He's so kind. And then we feel indebted. We feel purchased by that type of affection. And this reciprocation from our heart, which is natural, that is the flow. That is the connection. This is where our real advancement comes, through this heart transaction. He is so kind to us, giving us everything. We feel indebted. I want to give him everything. But what do I have? I don't have anything, only myself. So I'll give myself. This is a heart transaction. Guru is giving us Krishna. We're so overwhelmed with just a little realization of the nature of this gift, we must be overwhelmed. So many lifetimes we pass in this world. So many bodies, so many different species. We've been trying to enjoy, you know, through so many lifetimes. We've had mothers and fathers and wives and husbands and children and money. Been in upper planets and lower planets. All these things we've done. After coming through so many species, we finally got the human form. And it's not through intelligence and not through logic that we can get out. That will only take us back into this cycle of birth and death. On the corner, you keep playing with that. So Guru Maharaj is saying that don't try to go to the path of knowledge. We may develop some intellectual understanding. We may study the scriptures. We may use that in the purpose of teaching. But will that be our approach to that higher plane? We can't approach that. We can only approach through heart. And when the heart is overflowing, then this need comes to offer something. What can I offer my guru? He has everything. But I have to. So I'll offer myself. My Lord, what can I do for you? Please give me some service. Service is very difficult to attain. Not easily attained. Not anyone can give service to the Vaishnava. The Vaishnav doesn't want service. He wants to serve. He wants to serve Krishna, and he doesn't want any service to him. So, what is the possibility? But the Vaishnava is very kind. And on the order of Mahaprabhu, he will give shelter to the fallen souls. And when he accepts a sincere seeker, he gives the name, and he gives this mercy. And he will then accept service from him. And this is duty. It is Mahaprabhu's desire. And it is the service given to him by his guru. So by the sweet arrangement of Krishna, we have an opportunity to serve him. Otherwise, service is so hard. People may say, oh yes, love God, serve God. But they are just words. They mean nothing. But when we can connect with a devotee of Krishna, a devotee of God, that means something. And so, through our connection with him, we have a special opportunity to serve. What is normally almost impossible to get, we have easily. The chance to serve the chance to serve a real devotee. So that service, that is the heart transaction. We give of ourselves, we give our energy, we give everything to Guru, and we get everything. Everything we have already. It just we may not realize it. He's already given us the seed of devotion. It's in our heart. We may not realize fully what we have, but the more we realize, the more we must feel desperate to give something to him. Home is there, where the environment will take care of us, our fortune and our comfort. Independent of our consideration, the affectionate paraphernalia there will help us, affectionately and lovingly. So we should make good use of this opportunity to go back to God, back to home, our sweet, sweet home. Mahaprabhu recommended the path. With the help of the divine agent and the revealed scriptures, try to go there yourself. Your present position is uncertain. And death, it is not fixed where you will be carried by your current, by the current of your previous karma. Therefore, try to utilize for the best whatever time is available before your death. You have free will. Therefore, these days before your death are to some degree in your hand to use. So that time you must utilize for the utmost care of God realization. There's nothing so important as this for all of us. Srila Saraswati Thakur, he would say that I don't recognize any shortage, any necessity in this world other than Krishna consciousness. Everyone would say, you know, oh, but what charitable activities is your mission doing? Are you feeding people? Are you building hospitals? You know, the Ramakrishna mission, they're doing so much. What are you doing? And Srila Saraswati Thakur, he didn't accept this. He said, no. we are serving Mahaprabhu. We are spreading the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And this is the real need of human civilization. There is no other need. There may be hunger, but every day people are hungry and they eat. Every day somebody is sick. They're getting some medical care. Or not getting, as their karma is dictating. But what Mahaprabhu is giving, it is beyond karma. It is beyond the natural flow of this world. It is transcendental. That is the real meaning. If you want to help someone, why give them food? That is okay. But 3 hours later, they'll be hungry again. What is the effect of your help? But if you give them Krishna, give them consciousness of Krishna, and that can change them eternally. It can re-establish them in their original identity, who they really are. If someone is sleeping in a burning house, you have to wake them up. You have to go tell them, wake up, get out of here. It's a necessity. You can't stop. You can't wait. You can't say, oh, here, put on a shirt first. No, get out. This is the necessity. Beating someone, that is okay. Charitable activities are fine, no problem. But what is the real necessity? This is the real necessity. Who are you? You're a Krishna servant. Why are you here? Your home is beautiful. It's sweet. There are affectionate guardians everywhere. It's beauty. It's love. It's harmony. This is who you are. This is your birthright. Go there. That is real help. The advice is common for us, and common for us, is give up all your duties and jump into the one duty to go back home. There everything is full and complete, and everyone you look at will look after your real interests. Just consider, in this world everyone is trying to explore. Practically everywhere you go, you're considering, what do they want from you? Someone is trying to sell you something. Someone is trying to get you to do this. Someone is trying to use you for this or that. From everywhere, from the people on the street, the merchants, the government. Someone is trying to take something. And even if we analyze carefully, we will see our family is expecting something from us. But why? Because we have some debt there with the family, or they expect something of us. Maybe even our parents are expecting something. But for what? Because of our family interest, because of this, because of local interest, because of country interest. But all of these interests are not God's interest. They're not Krishna's interest. They're not our real interest. But who is looking out for our real interest? Guru and Vaishnava. Here at this mat, we find a place where everyone is interested in our real well-being. Guru Maharaj, the Gurudev, and his followers, they're giving us the sweet thing. They're interested in our progress in spiritual life. Where can we find such a place where everyone is looking after our real interests? Our real self. Not our ego. Not our gross body, but our real self. Where can we find such a place that everyone is there to help us? Impossible. But here we are. We're sitting in the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mata, established by Srila Guru Maharaj for this purpose, to give some real shelter to the sincere seekers. And here, everything is stable. Trees are favorable, the sun is favorable, even the bugs are favorable. Everything is favorable. Well, all we have to do is adjust our vision and see that everything is coming by this sweet little cushion to help us on our path. Other things are superficial, but the serving spirit is the deepest part within us. That is the deepest transaction. A transaction with the environment in the deepest plane. And that serving spirit is divided into two. In the lower position, it has some calculation. I must do this, I must not do this, for I need to attain so many things. But in the highest section, there is no calculation based on any selfish transaction. There is sacrifice. So great and so complete, so perfect. And the servitors have such deep connection with the Absolute that they do not care for themselves in the least. Through love and sacrifice, they have come to such a deep connection. Their transaction with the Absolute is all affection, all loving. So Guru Maharaj is giving some clear direction. And how will we progress? We'll progress through service. But there are gradations in everything. So in service really means service mood. What is our service mood? He says in the beginning stage, there will be some calculation. Oh, I want spiritual life and I will serve. I want this, so I will do this. Like we have a job, we go to the job, we do some service and some pay comes, and then we can enjoy the government. So in this type of mentality, we may approach, yes, okay, I will do some service. Guru will be kind to me and he will give me a place to stay. Whatever our calculation is. And that's okay. There's no problem. Maybe not the highest, but we're coming and offering something. Calculation is there, many gradations. But Srila Guru Maharaj, he's given the goal also. And this is important. Maybe we're not on the platform of pure selfless devotion. But there is no question about what the goal is. We may not see it as a goal. We may fall short, way short. But at least we know what the goal is. And Srila Maharaj made that so clear. Srila Sarthak Thakur, he described it as divine slavery. These words in material consciousness, in the material arena, they're deplorable. Oh, slavery. This is what you're promoting? How can that be good? But this is where, as Srila Saraswati Thakur describes, the soul reaches its highest platform of dignity in service to God. When one is completely dedicated in service, completely dependent, like a slave, he has no other shelter, no other interest, nothing of his own, only the service of his master is all he has. And that is governed by the autocratic whim of his master. Slave is owned. This, through this severe, intense example, we see the real prospect of higher life. Completely giving ourselves to the Lord. Completely giving ourselves to our Master. And not holding back anything, but just giving completely. And whatever service is needed, rushing to that. Giving complete attention. Whatever, sir. What my Gurudev wants, that's all I'm interested in. I will work for that. Other things are less important. Oh, I need some new clothes. Later I will look. Right now, I'm looking for my Guru, my His interest. Eating? I will get something. I have to serve my Guru. When that becomes our primary focus, when that is our consciousness, then we are approaching the plane of proper consciousness. So, as we progress, then we can start to have this type of mentality. Do service. Service without any expectation of result. Why am I serving my master? Because he's my master and I'm his servant. That's who I am. Am I expecting to get paid? No. Am I expecting some sort of material happiness from it? No. Even will I get mental happiness from it? Maybe, but it's not my goal. I'm not doing service so I'll become happy. I'm doing service because I want to serve my master. I want him to be happy. If I can make him happy, then that is everything to me. If I can make him pleased, that is everything to me. Whether I will be pleased or not, whether I will be happy, it doesn't matter. But if my master is pleased, then that is it. So this is where we want to go. This is where we want to aim our boat. You're on a boat and you're rowing and you're paddling. You may easily go in different directions. But if on the other shore you have some point you can focus on, and as you're paddling, you may make corrections. The boat is going a little way, so you turn it that way. And this way you're keeping the goal in sight. It may take a while to paddle there, but you can make adjustments and eventually you can reach that point on the other shore. But if you don't know what the goal is, it will be very difficult to get there. So, Srila Guru Maharaj, he is the holder of the Vipanuga Sampradaya. But the significance of that means that he is showing us what the supreme goal is, service of Sri Radha. And he's saying, this is our goal, nothing less. We won't be satisfied with anything less. Maybe we will get it soon, maybe it will be millions of lifetimes. But this is our goal, nothing less will we settle for. We won't settle for the happiness in the higher planets. We won't settle for the, for the Brahman realization. We won't settle for anything less for the service of Sri Radha. The goal he has given very clearly. And this he has protected and he has put into the care of his dearmost follower, Srila Guru Maharaj. And he is carefully guarding this. And he is affectionately guiding all of us on this path. And Krishna himself came to say this. And he appeared in his original form in Vrindavan. He was showing his pastime. He's giving so much instruction. Bhagavad Gita, he's giving so much instruction. But Bhagavad Gita, other things are there. Krishna's talking about karma. He's talking about dhyana. He's talking about yoga. But also bhakti, also devotion. But other things are mixed there. When he came as Mahaprabhu, very clearly, he said, no, this is the path. Jnana, no. Karma, no. Yoga, no. Only Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, he gave that. And who did Mahaprabhu entrust his preaching to? Roots and us. Mahaprabhu gave everything to us. There's so many associates he had. Rupa Damodar, Ramananda Rora, Vaisachar, Muchananda Prabhu. So many great devotees. But he gave care of his line, of his sampradaya, to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami, he is our master. And in that highest plane, who is Rupa Goswami? Rupa Goswami. This is our serving group. This is our goal. At present, science is serving power. So many scholars are investigating and discovering so many things. But that scientific research is really subservient to power, because it is trying to compete for the domination of this lower world. This lower world of selfish sense satisfaction. But the fulfillment of our heart's satisfaction is in the Krishna conception of the Absolute. He is the Lord of love, beauty, and ecstasy, and happiness. That is the innermost necessity of all of us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Go straight to Vrindavan by this special train. Don't try to break your journey anywhere, for that will only be a loss of time and energy." And in addition, he said, "Whoever you find, you give them Krishna consciousness. Just as in a famine-stricken country, whoever you find, you will give some food to save him." But this is 100 times more urgent. So if you were in a place where there is famine, people dying of starvation, and you go there and you have some food, whoever you see, you have to give it to them. You can't walk by. And this is where we find ourselves now. This world is like everyone is dying of starvation. They're going into the jaws of death at any moment. And they have no clue about their real identity. They have no clue about what can save them from another realm in this world of birth and death. So much suffering is there. So much unhappiness. It's a terrible place. And we've come here through our own misuse of free will. But with a little affection, with a little guidance, with a little bit of this mercy we've got, we can change someone's existence from unfortunate to fortunate. From a life of suffering in this world, of disillusionment, of pain, to a life of happiness, of ecstasy, of love, of beauty, affection. All these things are the nature of Krishna and his devotees. And we have a place there, each of us. This we can get. It says, go straight to Vrindavan by this special train and don't try to break your journey anywhere. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami describes the path of the devotee in his return back to Godhead. And he goes to the different levels of consciousness in this world. And in each place, in the planet of Lord Indra, he goes, and it is very nice there. Heavenly planet. But not only are they enjoying, they're worshipping Lord Vamanadeva. He's the incarnation of Krishna. And Gopakumari is very happy. Oh, yes, my Lord. Everyone is worshipping him. Very nice. But then after a while, he's not so satisfied. Because he can't worship the Lord the way his heart is expressing it, the way his heart is flowing. And so, one of the devotees says, "No, maybe this is not the best place for you, but I've heard that on the higher planet, the planet of the yogis, that always they're seeing the Lord within their heart and meditating on him." And Gopakumar is thinking, "Oh, I can see the Lord all the time." And so he goes to the plane of the yogis, and they are meditating on karma and seeing him all the time, completely selfless. And Gopakumar is there, and he is experiencing that, and he's very happy, but in his heart there's something missing. And eventually he wants to go to a higher plane. And so he goes to the planet of Lord Shiva, and also the Lord is worshipped there. And he goes and eventually crosses out of the material world completely. He goes to Vaikuntha and sees Lord Narayana. And he goes to the assembly of Lord Narayan. And he is chanting his Gopal mantra that his guru has given him. He wants to worship Gopal. And he sees Lord Narayan and he is seeing Gopal. And he goes to embrace him. But then the devotees of Lord Narayan say, "What are you doing? You can't do that." They are worshipping the Lord in awe and reverence. And this is not their relationship with him. So Gopal Kumar is in ecstasy to see his Lord. But he can't serve him. He can't play with him the way his heart is wanting. And eventually he goes further. And then finally his guru takes him to his forest. He's in the clearing. And he sees Krishna in the cowherd forest. And Gopal Kumar meets Krishna. And they embrace. And they fall to the ground in ecstasy. So his path led him so many places, through so many planes of consciousness. And in each place there is some connection with the Lord. Every place is in connection with the Lord. His energy is maintaining everything. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Everything rests on me." So anywhere we can find Krishna. But we have to follow our heart. And our Guru Maharaj, he is showing us the direction. He's saying, where is our place? Where is our destination? We have a place. And that place is in the serving camp of the devotees in Vrindavan. Goloka. And this is your goal. And you can go there. But don't settle for anything less. And don't take any deviations. Gopal Kumar, he could have stayed in any one of these places on the way. But because he kept chanting the mantra that his guru gave him, through every place he would chant his mantra. Even when he was in the plane of the yogis, absorbed in meditation and paramatma, seeing the Lord in the heart at every moment, still Gopal Kumar would break away and chant his mantra. He was there in the presence of Lord Vamanadeva, worshipping with great pomp. He would go aside and chant his mantra. So what our Guru has given us, this holy name, it is the beginning, it is the process, and it is also there in the highest plane. It is not the means to an end. It is the end. It's the beginning, the means, and the end. It is everything for us. He has given us such a gift. Such a wonderful thing. So, we must seriously take to this chanting, to this Harinam. But the Harinam, does it just mean chanting japa? No. Does it just mean kirtan in front of the deities? No. Does it just mean chanting on the street? No. It means speaking about Krishna. It means hearing about Krishna. It means anyone that we meet, we will try and tell them what we have heard from our Guru. Try and tell them about their real wealth. This is kirtan. Distributing literature about Krishna. This is kirtan. So many ways. Establishing temples for the shelter, for chanting, that is good. Anything in relation to this, this is what our Guru is giving us. Srila Saraswati Thakur, practically the devotees wouldn't see him chanting. He would go to the arti and stand, not dancing, not even chanting. But can anyone say that Srila Saraswati Thakur did not chant kirtan? Such great kirtan he led. But was he chanting in the arti? Maybe not. So the arti was there because of his kirtan. So we have to put aside any material conceptions. We have to put aside any calculation. We have to put aside even our previous experience in this world. It won't help us so much. We have experience, we've lived in this world, we know this or that, some knowledge we've accumulated on our path. But all of that knowledge is of this world. But our goal is beyond this world. In fact, our goal is completely different from this world. So how will we get there? We need a guide. And we have to be ready to follow our guide and leave aside everything that we've accumulated up to now. Leave aside whatever knowledge we've acquired, whatever experience we have, whatever identification we have with this world. Our ego, we've created it for so much time in this world. Every life is adding something to it, some experience, some enjoyment, some desire, some separate interest. Srila Guru Maharaj says that this ego is like, it's like an accumulation of separate interests. Interests other than Krishna's interests. Our own interests. There's some interest for some pratishtha, some interest for some sense gratification, some interest for some controlling. All these things, whether they're gross or subtle, is what makes up our ego, our misidentification. But to go to that land of dedication, we have to leave it completely. We can't take any of this. No separate interest, no ego. No previous experience, no intellectual accumulation, nothing. Only our heart transaction. Only our affection, our love. And this will flow on what basis? What will be our guiding line? The state, Shraddha. Shraddha is the one thing we have that can reach to that higher plane. Nothing else we have can approach that. We may study and memorize a million verses, but will that give us devotion? We may chant so many mantras. Will that give us devotion? What will give us devotion is the mercy of the devotee. Only by the mercy of the devotee can we get that thing, that precious thing. We can't get it by our own endeavor. We can't get it by our own action. We can't get it by our own intellect. It is beyond. It is futile to try. But if we can get these, if we can please the devotee, we can serve the Lord's devotee, somebody who has devotion, they will happily give it to us. They want to give it to us. They're anxious to give it to us. All we have to do is to try and give it, is to want it. We give ourselves to them as is proper, as is our real identity. And they give us this wonderful gift, the seed of bhakti, planting it in our heart. And then, in service, that seed grows. And service may be chanted, service may be practical service. Service is whatever our guru tells us. What he wants, that is service for us. We may calculate and say, oh, these are the 9 types of authorized service. No. Service is whatever our guru tells us to do. If our guru says, sit there and don't do anything, for us, that's service. We're following his order. Or if he tells us, you know, to go dance in the street, then that's service, whatever he tells us. That constitutes real spiritual life. Whatever that is our connection. So, we don't want to bring any preconceived notions. We don't want to try to impose our ideas on Guru or Krishna. They're in the highest plane, beyond material conception, beyond material life. They're in another plane of consciousness. And we want to go there.
the only way we can go there
is by their mercy that they give us now.
So that higher plane can reveal itself to us if it desires. But we can't force our way there. So our position is that we have to wait. We don't have to just wait, though. We can try and serve. We can try and attract that higher plane. And we can do that through service. Through selfless service, we may be able to attract the higher plane. But ultimately, the Lord is autocrat by His sweet will. He may do or not do. We may go 1,000 lives trying to attract Him, and He may not appear before us. Or at any moment, He may appear as He likes. And that is our Lord. We can't control Him. He can control us. Approaching Him is very difficult. He is everywhere, but He's nowhere. Everything rests on Him, but He is not attached to anything. He is dancing with millions of goblins at any time, and yet, where can we come? But if we can please His devotees, then He will take notice. And why is that? Because the devotee, someone who actually has devotion for Krishna, he only wants to serve. And he doesn't want to accept any service. He doesn't want service from others. He doesn't want service from Krishna. He wants to serve Krishna. He doesn't want Krishna to serve him. He will be constantly engaged 24 hours in service and not allow any time for Krishna to serve him. But Krishna, he wants to serve his devotees. They are giving everything to him. And he wants to do something for them. Krishna is feeling the necessity. He wants to help his devotee. He wants to serve his devotee. He is purchased by their devotion. They give everything. 100% selfless. And Krishna, he says, you're giving me so much. I want to give you something. But the devotee says, oh my Lord, I want nothing. I will serve you. And 100%, 24 hours, the devotee is serving. Krishna has no chance to serve him. But the guru, he is accepting disciples on Mahaprabhu's order, on his guru's order. And those disciples, to help them, he is accepting their service. He doesn't need their service. But for their benefit, he is accepting it. For our benefit, our guru accepts our service. He doesn't need our service. We are not so indispensable. But for our benefit, he will accept our service. Even if it's faulty, he will accept. What is good, he will take. This is the meaning of Paramahamsa. We can find good even in the filthy place. So we're approaching, maybe our heart is not so clean, maybe our motives not so pure, but something we understood, and we're coming and offering, making an offering, imperfect or impure, however it is, and our guru, like the Paramahamsa he is, he's accepting what is good. So he is accepting that service. So what Krishna can't do, serving that devotee, we have the opportunity to do. And this is a special thing. So if we can serve our guru, if we can please our guru, then we're doing what Krishna wants to do. And Krishna will notice, and he will see, oh, he is pleased, my devotee. I will favor him. And this is the key to our success in spiritual life. If we can please our Divine Master, then everything is ours. Krishna will be happy with us. And if Krishna is happy with us,
We have nothing. What else can we achieve? This is perfection. So, serving the Guru, pleasing the Guru, this is everything.
So maybe we'll chant a little bit more. Go ahead.